We're enjoying this series on dealing with our mind and our emotions. I hope it's beneficial. I have at least two more sermons in that arena. I'll be preaching again on that on Sunday. But if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. Now, this portion of Scripture is familiar with a lot of us here. But I want to focus in on how David responded. And I'll set the scene here that the men of Israel, they were out to battle with David. And they were going to take the land and fighting. And then when they came back, they found out that their camp was ransacked. And all their family was gone. Their wives, their kids. So they're coming back from a battle, doing work in the Lord, doing the battle in the Lord. And now they come home and everything's a mess. How many knows the enemy will attack while you're not there? How many knows he never fights fair? How many seen that area? He never fights fair. He doesn't care if you're young or you're old. He doesn't care if you have an infirmity. It doesn't really matter. His whole goal is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his whole goal. And when we get a hold of that, when we start to realize that's where he's at, then we start to realize how his tactics are. In 1 Samuel 30, starting with verse 1, says, "Now it happened when David and the men of Ziklag, on the third day that the Amalekites invaded the south, they attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women and all that were there, both small and great. They didn't kill anyone, but they carried them away and went their way. So when David and his men came back to the city and saw it was burned with fire, their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive." Now, how would you feel in that day? You just went out to battle. You're battling for the Lord. You're doing what is right. And then you come home and everything is burned. And whatever was precious to you now is gone. You don't know if they're alive. You don't know if they've been slaughtered. You don't know if they're scattered around. You don't even know where they're at. How many in here would be a little bit emotionally upset? How many would think, "I'm doing the Lord's work, but what's up with this?" How many would maybe even cast something on the Lord? "Lord, you said you would take care of my family. Where are you?" Oh, nobody in here would think like that. How many of there would be a full range of emotions going on in this situation? And legitimate ones, true, huh? Amen? Now, how many knows that that's what you get faced with at times? Sometimes there is no other way but to face what's there. The goal of it is how to handle that in the midst of that. And all of us need work. Oh, no thunderous amens in here. We have to look and say, if Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, David now and his mighty men are now confronted with that. Now, can you imagine David? He had a heart. He loved the people. He didn't want no evil. Can you imagine him coming home and going, "Oh, man, what's up with this?" And see, you're going to see here in just a few portions of the Scripture that all of a sudden his mighty men became angry and upset. And some of them really lashed out against him. I want you to know that it's difficult sometimes. Can you imagine David's dealing with the same emotions everyone else is, but he has to face this too? Sometimes you may have to be the one standing your family strong. Oh, say amen. Amen. Look at verse 4. "Then David and the people, when they were there, they lifted up their voices and they wept until there was no more power to," somebody say weep. Now that is a serious, unbelievable amount of prayer and crying and weeping and exhaustion. See, the enemy, when he wants to attack, he'll look and say, "I'm going to take your emotions and I'm going to spin it over here." Whether it's right or it's wrong, he's going to try to get you in that emotional state so we make decisions based on how we feel and not the reality of the situation. Was everybody safe? Absolutely. Didn't kill anyone. But they didn't know that. And sometimes we jump to where we should be or shouldn't be before we know. True? Wouldn't it have been great if they all said, "You know what, all our people are safe, and we're just going to go take it." But they're coming back from battle. To me, the greatest fight that the enemy brings is when you come out of battle and you have a little bit of exhaustion. Yeah. Somebody say amen. Amen. It says, and David wept. Well, that's a normal response for loss. David's two wives in verse 5 were there. They were taken captive. His mind and his emotions are now causing him to act. When you're upset, it's hard to think straight. And confusion sets in. No matter who you are or what you're about, no matter how long you're safe, when you're upset, you're in the arena where you can't think straight. Oh, I should have thunderous amens in here. David now is facing this situation. And now he has to look and say, you know what? I'm in the same boat that everyone else is in. Sometimes we make it personal when they're all in that boat. Amen? Every man should have said, your wife and your kids are gone, so are mine. We're standing together, brother. And since when is this David's fault? When did he say, hey, go invade the camp? When did he say, hey, take my children when we're away? The truth is that we have to face things accordingly. Amen? Now, how many think that God called them all together? He said, look, you guys fought as a unit. Now all of a sudden you're not? Oh, I can preach on that. Listen, when we're tired, we'll make decisions. Amen? They were hoping to come back, get with their families, get some rest, only to find that your house has been burned down. And all your good stuff, the stuff that you really like, is now in the hands of somebody else. How many here had somebody ever break into your house or your property? I've had that happen to me. I've had it happen a couple times. It's very violating. I remember one time I went up north and I came back. And I came, and my bathroom window was shoved into the bathtub. And it was wintertime, and I walked in the front door. I'm like, man, it's so cold in here. So I'm walking through the house, and I look, and somebody knocked the whole, not just the window, the whole window frame knocked it right out. And I'm now walking around my house. This is open, this is open. And when whoever left, they left the doors wide open. So I don't know how long that would have been. It could have been, you know, a couple days. But I remember going, oh, man. I remember calling the police, making a report, them walking through. And I'm trying to think, well, what's missing? Amen? What if you come back and it's all gone? People are more important than stuff. Amen. And now they're exhausted from the battle. And now my emotional state is taking over. How many of us, we need to have peace in that area? We need to be able to grab a hold of them and say, you know what? Lord Jesus, I need you to work. When you're tired, like I mentioned last week, how many knows he told the prophet, go take a nap? Amen? If you don't remember, that's 1 Kings 19, verse 5. The normal response is that he's tired, and now all of a sudden, hey, what's happening here? Then we get to the next area. Look at verse 6, 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed, and all the people spoke of stoning him. I thought they loved him. I thought he was a great leader. He slept in caves with them. He made sure the provision was great for them. Come on. And now they talked about stoning him. What if that was you? You didn't cause this to happen. And now people want to stone you. Come on. Can you see how the battle can intensify? So say amen. Now how many knows David is saying, like, look, I'm in the middle of this too. Let's read on here. It says, because of the souls of the people were grieved, every man for his son and his daughter. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. How many knows there's a key there, even in our emotional state, that I strengthen myself in the Lord? Every man needed to strengthen himself in the Lord. Because your circumstance or your situation isn't going to accomplish that. It'll do everything to take you away from that. But in your mind and your emotions, say, you know what? I need to strengthen myself in the Lord. Amen? Now, how many of those David could have been, man, these guys want to stone me. What's up with that? Come on. How many of those David had real flesh too? Sometimes these guys aren't superheroes. They're just like us. So every emotion that we experience, so did they. That gives me great hope and comfort. Amen? They're like, hey, they had to work through this too. They felt things were real. But notice what he did. David and his men, they started. These are the guys that would go out and do great feats. They could defeat just about anything in front of them. But now it's their mouth. They're murmuring. They're complaining. There's mutiny in the camp, and now they're asking to stone. Listen, when you're hurt and tired, your mouth will follow. I said, when you're hurt and tired, your mouth will follow. David's having to deal with that, and he's feeling hurt too. But notice what he's doing. He's saying, I can't get my comfort or I can't get my strength by just speaking bad about it. I need to have Lord work in this situation. It's no different for all of us here. We have to say, Lord, the situation is real. There's no denying that. But what am I going to do with it? I don't want my mind and my emotions to go that way. Amen? Now, what if you were David's best bud and you're like, dude, I just feel like stoning you right now. It doesn't mean that they were going to actually fulfill their word, but just coming out during that time is probably a bad time. Amen? What would get them to change their mind? What would get them to say, hey, look, our thinking isn't right here? Should we go after those who've taken us? And that's the response we need to have. If they would have stayed in self-pity, they would have stayed in that area, they wouldn't have done anything. They already lost all their strength. They wept for hours till they had no strength. And they came to the place, listen, that either you're going to make a change and go the way God, or you're going to stay in this condition. How many of those bitterness rots the bones? How many of those a certain situation in some people's life has driven them to become even different? Oh, say amen in here. How many of those, that's reality. And sometimes you just want to help them get through that. Come on, come on, we can get through this. Come on, we can get through this. But it's always, but they did, but they did, but they did. It's never, no, I can get through this. Amen? Amen? Sometimes you just need to go after the enemy. Oh. He's after you? No, you need to go after him. I'm going to speak to that area. But our mouth will follow those things. Murmuring, complaining, and mutiny is something that needs to be eradicated. You're already hurt and tired. That's there. But now you're letting your mouth follow what's in. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen? Lord, let me speak that which is what? See, when your strength comes from the Lord, your outlook begins to change. And so does your mouth. Amen? For David and his men, he's used to being driven. He was driven out of his own country. He knows what that's like. He had to flee from the camp of the Philistines. He even acted like a madman one time in front of another king. He knows what it's like to be out there. He knows what it's like to be far away. But now it becomes a personal thing. Now I got your kids. Now I got your family. Oh, say amen. Look at verse 6. And David strengthened himself. The people were in great distress. They thought of stoning him, but he strengthened himself. No man can strengthen you like the Lord. Flesh is flesh, but the Lord is that spirit. That spirit man that can rise up within. You have to push away all your thoughts, your intents, and say, you know what, Lord? I need you. It doesn't matter what's already happened. I need you. Because I need to be the man or the woman in this situation that will make it work. How many of those that goes past what you are? Sometimes you can, maybe this guy said, I'm going to stone him. And his best buddy said, yeah, that's good too. We need to do that. Let's stone him. Amen? But hopefully somebody says, you know what? That's wrong thinking. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. We need that in the kingdom too. That's wrong thinking. Sometimes it's good to have somebody disagree here. Say, that's wrong thinking. Come on. You know how many times that doctrine is really way off? Like Jesus has already returned and he's not coming again. I heard that preached not too long ago. I heard this one preached not too long ago. There are other people on other planets up there right now. We just haven't found them yet. Where is that scripturally? How many of us, if there are other people somewhere on the planet, still Jesus needed to die for them, amen? But he died for this planet and these people, so I don't see it anywhere else. But look at verse 7. To start to work these areas in our mind and our emotions, we need to be calm or have a calm spirit in God. Then David sent for who? Who was he? He sent for the priest. He says, bring me the ephod, bring it to me. And he brought it to David. Listen, what time when you're afraid, you need to trust. When you're at your wit's end, you're not at your faith's end. When you're at your wit's end, doesn't mean you're at your faith's end. Lord, my faith is still there. He has to look at it and say, God, I need your help in this. I need you to work in this situation. I need to have calmness here, Lord. What to do? So what he did is he took a step back and he looked for something that was spiritual. How many of us, we don't do that either? Come on, we don't do things that are spiritual when we really need to. It's what they all needed to do, but we try to work it out in the flesh when we need to keep it in the spirit. Amen? Amen? Notice he sought for help, and his answer was, God, what to do? And he put it out there. Shall I pursue them? Shall I overtake them? And he's putting out, Lord, what shall I do? Now, if you're in an emotional state, how many knows that it's kind of hard to hear? Yes or no?
Yes.
How many ever pranced around, Lord, this is it, Lord, this is that, Lord, this is it, Lord, this is it. What is it, Lord? But notice that he called, so he gave some time. He went back till he knows what worked. And that was, I received from the Lord before, I can receive from him again. Amen? He called the priest, I need this area. I need to know, Lord Jesus, help me. How many knows that's a good thing to do? Listen, emotionally, mentally, we need to do this also. When things are whacked out, go to God. You don't have the answer in the natural. There's no way you can figure it out. And that's the problem with us. We try to figure it all out. Me too. How many ever try to figure it out? Okay, am I the only one? Sometimes we try to figure it out. And I'm with you on that. That's one thing my wife and I always say. You don't have to fix this. I don't need you to fix it. I just need you to listen. Amen?
Ouch.
It's just true. So all the guys are going, yeah, amen. But he's asking, Lord, well, should I overtake them? Shall I pursue them? Hebrews 6 verse 12 says this, do not be sluggish, amen, but imitate those through faith and patience inherit the promises. So it's through faith and patience you inherit all the promises of God. Well, patience isn't something that we have very much of. And faith sometimes needs to be built up in. David wants everything back, and God knows that. Well, here's a miracle already. Listen, when people came in and took other people hostage, sometimes they would keep those, and sometimes they would kill a bunch. Sometimes they would just pick out choice people and take them with them. The rest they would annihilate. God's already protected all of them. They didn't kill one. That doesn't happen normally, even in society. When somebody invades, they take over. Notice the miracle has already taken place. And yet, are we upset with God since he's already done the work? Maybe we need to find out what work he's done. Oh, come on. The miracle's already been done. They're all alive. You may not know it, but he does. So I need to get with him and find out what he wants to do. Because vengeance belongs to the Lord. He'll repay. He does a good job better than any of us can do that. We can't just fix it and make it better. He'll work on it. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody say, through faith and patience.
Through faith and patience.
Every promise that you will ever receive, it's through faith and patience you inherit the promises. I have that on my mirror. Through faith and patience you inherit the promises. That's how it's going to come. It isn't poof, poof, presto, that's nice. I like when things happen like that, but it's faith and patience. And there are sometimes things come real quick and instant, only because you prayed a long time and you kind of forgot about it. And the Lord kind of reminded you again. Who knows what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Things take some time, especially when it comes to changing hearts and people. That takes some time. Amen?
Amen.
So he prays, Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do, Lord? I want to go, I want to operate. You've anointed me for king, and Lord God, now I need to go and fight. Look at verse 9. So David went, he and 600 men with him, and they came to the brook, and they stayed there, and they left some behind. But David pursued with another 400 men. 200 stayed back because they were weary. They couldn't cross over. What I love about David is that he was inclusive. 600 are going after, 600 men. And then when they got a certain distance, 200 of them just couldn't go any farther. So he said, you guys just wait here. Notice he didn't make them feel bad. But we're going to go after. So 400 men now are going to pursue an army that, I don't know how many were in the other army, but I guarantee you there's probably more than 400. Amen? See, victory comes through the eyes of faith, not in our surroundings. I'm still chasing after him, but the word was go. Go after. How many knows that when God speaks to go, you go? But he's looking at the situation. A third of them is going to be left behind. Now, let me ask you this. You'd probably want to go and see your kids. But how many knows you're trusting the men that are going to go out there, hey, bring my family back too. Sometimes you can only go so far. Somebody will finish it. And they'll bring your word back. How many knows that's a good trust factor? That means if Pastor Mark went and I couldn't, look, take care of my family too. Go after them. How many knows you could totally trust that? How many of us, we need that in the kingdom? Yes. Look, take care of my outwill. We won't miss a one. I'll make sure of it. You'd want to have that assurance. I can't go anymore. Maybe they had a situation. Maybe they hurt their leg. Who knows? Maybe some of them were wounded when they came back. Who knows? But the truth is, David pursued after them. There are times that when we walk in obedience, only to be hit again with disappointment. Expectations that are not met bring forth disappointment. When David went, he had an urge to go, but it was beyond his strength. There was an urgency, yes, but he still needed to have the right mindset. Lord, I don't want to attack, Lord God, and just be emotional or go nuts out there. I want you to know that somebody that goes berserk on the battlefield usually loses their life. But somebody who can keep composure will win. Amen? You don't become overconfident in the battle. You trust in the Lord. When David looked at Goliath, how many knows that he had a trust? But he's a man of war. I'm not going to take it for granted that he doesn't know how to fight. Don't underestimate the enemy is. I'm not giving him glory, but don't underestimate his tactics. Don't think you can beat him in the natural, because you'll never win. And when it comes to our mind and our emotions, he's going to work on those things. Amen? Is this good tonight?
Yes.
When David was a type of Christ. Jesus said in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10, for my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect or mature in your weakness. Paul said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. He started to recognize when he came to himself and came to his end, God's power was there. When it was an overwhelming task, Lord, I can't do this, God's grace was sufficient. He called him to reach the Gentiles. He called him this. He was in prison. He was beaten with rods. He was shipwrecked. It was beyond his natural ability to accomplish what God wanted him to do. In this situation, David's in the same situation. Is this good? Can God do it? I want you to know when God begins to move and minister his grace, the attacks are real, but I want you to know that, hey, God's able. I want you to jump down to verse 17. David gets to the place where he's going to attack, and he attacked them from twilight until the evening the next day. Not a man of theirs escaped. Except the 400 who rode on camels and fled. And David recovered all the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. Nothing was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoils or anything they had taken. David recovered all. Say he recovered all. What if I stayed back in the camp? What if I still was in my emotional state? What if I didn't spend time, Lord, I need to hear from you. Notice all the steps that brought victory. And David recovered it all. What I like about that is not only did he recover what's there, he also robbed from the enemy's camp and took all his stuff too. When you recover all, you take all the spoils from that's been there before. Say amen. How many knows that they're going to have the victory? Now, they didn't have great communication like they did here today. You could just call, hey, we got everything back. Everything's cool. Oh, awesome. It probably took some time to get back to even to the 200 men. But you'd always be looking. You'd always be waiting. Does anyone remember letters Pastor Glenn talked about that last week. I never got a letter in the mail. Like, some of you haven't heard from in a long time. Now I know there's email. I know there's texting. I mean, sometimes it's nice to hear from something. Well, there would be a great thing. Hey, your family's alive. How many would be like, oh, cool, oh, cool. How many, if you thought you wanted to stone David, all of a sudden he brought it all back, David, you're the man. Notice how he can go from chump to champion in just a moment. David, you're the man. I never doubted it for a second, man. How many of us, forgive me for what I said about you. I didn't mean that. Oh, come on. And David recovered all. David goes out and receives back. And notice that they had a battle from all night. They just came from a battle. And now they had to travel hard after him. And now they go to battle again. And then they fight to get the victory. Sometimes that's when your victory comes. Listen, after you fight again. After you're already dog tired and you don't feel like it. Oh, I'm preaching now. He went back. I'm going to say it's not going to be easy. But what's my mindset in that? What's my heart in that? Lord, I'm going. You said to go. Recover all. Amen? It's not the one battle that brought the victory. It was both the battles. I wish to say that you were going to go through one battle in life and everything would be cool. I haven't found that to be real. Amen? Some battles you receive. Some things like, hey, this shouldn't have been his battle. Shouldn't have been his fight. But yet now it is. So he's going after. But he's going to take the spoils. He's going to go after those areas. He's going to go after that which is precious. And that's what Satan attacks. He attacks the precious life. He's always after the precious life. When we pray, pray for the children. Pray for our young people. Lord, a hedge of protection over them. Lord, work in them. Because it's a different world. Amen? And now you got madmen wanting to start a nuclear war in this world. Say, whatever, amen? How many of those God's still God? Amen. And here's another truth. No one's going to destroy this planet without his permission. This is the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So you got to get through God. Amen? How many are ready to go home and be with Jesus? My only heartache is that there's still so many people need to know him. Amen? I want them to know him. So, Lord, a divine delay to me is more souls to be saved. Listen, when we come through this, it's good to enjoy the victories. But we can't lose heart when things are not going a certain way. We have to walk by faith. So I have to take those areas and say, you know what? My mind, will, and emotions need to line up with this. My perception may be this, but this is what God's doing. And that reality we have to walk out. In our own efforts, we're already lost. But David's saying, you know what? We're going to go after him, and I'm with you. If I lose my life there too, I'm with you guys. But I'm willing to stick it out for your families too. Amen? You want those people in your life. You need those people in your life. Come on. I got a sermon title I just put together, either you're called or you're crumbled. Called or you're crumbled. How many of you are called according to his purpose? If David was just a hireling, he may have led him so far and then just split. He may have just hightailed it out in the middle of the night, say, you guys deal with this. But he's sticking it out. Amen? David's leadership in this part gave Israel success. But Jesus is the captain of our salvation. Hebrews 2 verse 10. When I look at that, within us we have great deliverance because we can overcome the strong man because a stronger man's in me. Amen? If I look at every battle, can we win every battle? Can't we win every battle? Yes or no? Yes. See, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. And that's still the problem with our physical bodies. They break down. But one day that's even going to be done away with. But every victory I can still have in Christ. I know this body. The Bible says outwardly I'm wasting away, but yet inwardly I'm being renewed. That enemy there will affect. If the Lord should tarry, we will all go the way of all flesh. But that doesn't mean Christ hasn't brought the victory. He says one day you're going to have a body likened unto mine. So even that's a provision. But I'm looking today, see, in our mind and our emotions, we have to have peace. The peace of God that passes understanding. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 11 for a moment. Luke chapter 11. Tell me when you got it. Luke 11. Look at verse 21. Tell me when you got it. It says, when a strong man is fully armed, he guards his own palace. His goods are in peace. But when a stronger man comes and comes upon him, overtakes him, and takes what he has, takes his armor and all that he's trusted in, and divides his spoils. Jesus is going to give us an illustration here. The strong man is the devil. He keeps his palace. The heart is the devil's place. Satan hardens men's hearts against the truth. He keeps it armed. He keeps those places there. His goods are at peace. But this, the sinner has a good option in himself. He's secure. He's happy. He flatters himself. In his own eyes, he's totally cool. It's all quiet. I'm doing my own thing. I'm living my own life. Until the gospel is preached. And that's disrupted in his life. And now you're faced with a change because a stronger man now has walked in the situation. You ever notice people fight against the gospel? They fight against that area. They don't want to yield to those things because now a stronger man now, you've been living in your own arena of sin, but now a stronger man's coming in. How many of those? That's powerful. You have the words of life in you. All of us God rescued from sin. Amen? Aren't you glad the stronger man came to you? Because you couldn't beat it in yourself. You needed somebody stronger to intervene in this situation. Verse 22. But when the stronger comes, he overcomes him, takes him down, takes all that area he trusted in, and divides his spoils. He comes and surprises his good. He overwhelms him in those areas. He takes what he's been trusting in and brings it low. So now you can have a new Lord. Thank God for that. Amen. You're no longer trusting in your own self. Jesus disarms him. He breaks the power of sin and takes that armor away, that stony heart. That's good victory. David's looking, you know what? I am the stronger man. That's how he had to face it. I am stronger than this. I am stronger than my enemy. I am stronger than those who built a city. I'm stronger than that. So God, you're going to help me. You're going to help me receive. Those guys didn't have a chance. They didn't have a chance. You wonder why? Because they could go into battle. I've already felt like I've lost everything, so I'm fighting for what I have. Amen? I'm going back for that. Can you imagine if the church fought like that in prayer? That we were just, there's no other thing. I want that. I'm going to rescue my family. I'm going to rescue those. And I'm going to rescue those that aren't even my family. I'm going after them. We need to have that. God will bring it, and the spoils the enemy has built up will be divided amongst. How many knows what's in the world can be given to the righteous? Amen? When he divides his spoil, we're allowed to share in that victory. All of us will. You know, when we get to heaven, you're going to see things are more connected than we really realize. And you're going to see that somebody that when God said, well done, good and faithful servant, you're going to go, you know what? I knew their brother, and I remember praying for them at a prayer meeting, and that person witnessed to them, and he lived in another state. How many of us God's going to go, yep, that's true. God worked it out. We all have that part. There's 400 men going to rescue a whole family. There's 200 waiting to hear the good word, and they're all going to come back. I love that. Listen, sometimes you may not be able to have the strength to do a certain thing, but don't give up. Your portion's still there. If you understand these portions of Scripture, when David took the spoils, he actually gave it to the 200 too that couldn't go. He didn't make them feel like they were second-class citizens. I love that about God. God will give us things that we don't even deserve. Amen? He'll bless us with things. But notice that he's on the Lord's side. We have to break the yoke of the enemy. Certain things we've done before, Lord, I want that changed. Help me, Lord. If you revert back to a certain thinking at a time, Lord, change that. Amen? If you're on the reciprocating end that you feel like David, oh, come on. Lord, help us. Is this good tonight? When you're on the Lord's side, how many knows that he will work it out? Come on, he will work it out. When the spirit goes out, I want you to know there's power in that. The difference between Satan in agreement and you and God in agreement, Satan's always under compulsion. God's always planned. Amen? Don't do things in compulsion. Notice David didn't rush out. I'm just going to do what I want to do. No, he prayed. Amen? And God got a command in there. That's why you should never give under compulsion. Some preacher said, well, if you got to get in this offering or you're going to miss a blessing, you probably should let that blessing go by. I'm serious. You need to think about it. You need to be prayerful with it. That's why you prepare your offerings. Now, God can touch you in a moment and you can give. I'm not talking about that. But Pastor Mark and I know exactly people giving of their total, all their pension, because they were promised 100-fold back. Who wouldn't be a fool to get in that offering? True? But if God didn't speak it and didn't say that and it doesn't come to pass, then you're whatever. A lot of hurt feelings. Amen? I tested that one time with an evangelist. I really did. He said, you give in this offering, you'll get 100-fold back. I said, you know what? I'm going to prove now herewith if that's the word of the Lord or not. I actually put in an offering. I marked it. And I said, I'm looking for 100-fold return on that. And I'm here to tell you, it never happened. Amen? I proved it. Didn't happen. That's why you won't hear from here. Don't give under compulsion. Give it because your heart's there. Amen? If David acted in compulsion, he probably would have lost a lot of men. Sure, they were warriors. But how many times compulsion has taken a place where now there's another battle? True? And the greatest defeat would have been these guys lost their life chasing something they didn't even know was going to happen. Amen? How many times has that happened? We've chased our own tail. Oh, nobody in here. Amen? Huh? How many wish you could revert back, change a few decisions you made in the past? How many had some stone-cold, stupid decisions? How many ever look back and go, what was I thinking? Okay, three of you, four of you? Okay. The truth is that aren't you glad God gives you another opportunity? And he gives you a sound mind. How many are smarter now than you were before? Thank God for that. If you're dumber now, praise the Lord, get to the altar, all right? Now, I'm not saying anybody is, but we need those things. We need to be smart in him. When a person is just playing those things and doing those things, I want you to know that impulse will not work. It doesn't work in the kingdom. But we said, Lord, should we go? Go. Amen? And I have to believe that there was a joyous situation when he grabbed his wives and his kids and other people were united. Amen? All the pain of the battle, all the weariness would go just away. True? I can just see him hugging on their families as they walk back. Come on. Now, what about the other 200? Can you imagine them seen in the distance? All of a sudden, you see your family coming. Mama, Daddy, I'm here. Can you see the joy? And then all the spoils, everything that was taken. Hear me on this. Sometimes the Lord will unload what you have so you can get more. And when the thief is found out, he must repay back. So there were some things that needed to have some repayment back. So God was going to bring it back in all one time, and the women and the children got the first to see it. Amen. Did he have them safe? Yes or no? Was somebody believing God? They were all safe already. There was no harm done to them. We have to look at it and say, God, the miracle is already done. I'm here to tell you, your miracle is already done. Lord, let me have the faith to walk it out. Let me believe you that, Lord, it will work in those arenas. When the house is fully swept clean, I want you to know it looses every area. But it has to be filled. Come on. I really believe that every man checked his own heart. Was I holding on to the stuff or Jesus? Even after you go to battle, you need to go, I need to trust in the Lord. It's not a one-time shot or punch your ticket in there and it's good. Amen? I remember one time, can I just be totally real with you? I remember one time, somebody said to me, you know what? I gave in the offering once. That's all that's needed. Thank you, Jesus. And I thought to myself, well, I'm glad you gave once. That's awesome. Amen? But there's a whole lot more to it than that.
true?
Come on, how many knows it's given? It shall be given. The story is now written for ours. Now, what if you did something in this life here that 2,000 years later they're still talking about it? That's totally possible for any one of us in this room. Amen? I don't know all 600 names. They got a few of their names. But they're recorded forever. Your life will be recorded forever, what you do. Listen, when our life is garnished with grace and giftings, Lord, I want you to work in this situation. Help me, Lord. Amen? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says that if anyone be in Christ, he's a
new creation.
A what?
New creation.
I am brand new. My old way is that way. I am new. I become a new creation. Old things pass away, all things become new. You all know this. So when I'm new in Him, I want you to know that that Spirit is able to do more than I could ask or think. No fight, no difficulty, no hypocrisy, no apostasy, nothing will separate you. But leaving your faith is something that you have the power to do. Or you can embrace that area. Amen? The Lord doesn't twist your arm to serve Him or even to walk with Him. We have to have that resolve within us to say, you know what? As for me and my house, I serve the Lord. Now, what if David said, you know what? His mighty man said, you know what? We can take those dudes. We see the path. We see where they went. We're going after them. I'm with you. How many would say, I'm with them? I'm with them. Can you imagine now David having resolve? We're going after them. And we're not stopping until we got it all back. You always have that thought, well, maybe they're already dead. But I already got a word. God said, go. He's not going to tell me go and just bury them, people. Amen. I need to hear the go and say, it's going to be good. Amen. How many knows you can't spell good without going it? Come on. When there's a good, there's got to be a go. Oh, hallelujah. We've all lost something in sin, but Jesus has restored those things. Amen? Listen, what we lost here, God's here. What the worms have eaten, God will restore. He's going to make it that you have a family tree. It's so true. God wants you to have a lineage. He'll make sure of it. I want you to know that if all these men lost their wives and their children, their lineage stopped. God's saying that's not going to happen. I got descendants. I will make sure of it. That's why if there's a blessing for families, or if there's a genealogy that you have, God will make sure it continues.
Amen.
Amen. Your internal heritage is there. It's going to be strengthened and redeemed. Amen. Flip back to 1 Samuel 30, and I'll close with this. I hope you're enjoying tonight. 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30, verse 18. So David recovered all. Somebody say all.
All.
Doesn't that something God does?
Yes.
What did he lack on the cross for you? Did he miss out anything in provision?
No.
Is there something there, a big gap, like, well, the Lord could have done this and this would have worked out? Or did he say, it is?
Finished.
Isn't that an all done?
Yeah.
When a project is finished, mankind's redemption was totally finished and paid 100%. You can't add to it. You can't take from it. It's done. It's like a project finished. Sin messed us up. Redemption brought us back. What Adam lost, the second Adam brought back. So, Lord, I want to walk in that. So somewhere in the middle of that, my mind and my emotions need to be sound. Amen? It's a provision. And if it's a provision, how many knows that's a provision for me? And when the provision brings me the vision, I got something to work with. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When Jesus restores all, he restores all. When he brings it back safe, they had more than they left with. Amen. And here's what's neat. They brought back an inheritance. So God was looking at past generations that may have gotten robbed by the enemy. I'll still bring it back for the righteous. Isn't that cool? My family has forfeited so much of an inheritance in Christ. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It really is. My grandfather, he was saved. on my mom's side. But my dad's side, no. And they forfeited all they could have become. And many of them have passed on. And I look at it, their kids, and now their kids, and now their grandkids. Many of them aren't serving the Lord. Lord, I want that to change. Amen. I want to be able to declare there's a godly generation there. When I got saved, I was like one out of due season. I really was. But God said, you. Amen. You. And I'm praying that for my family. I'm praying especially for my father. He's in that place where all he has to do is just turn it over. He has heard. He knows. But how many knows it's got to become real? Like Ron and I were talking the other day about it. It just becomes real. Lord, open that up. Amen. I'm looking to receive back all that was forfeited. How many are there? Amen. He's able to. God will keep what's safe. But you can walk in the battle with an emotional mess or safe and sound. You choose. Choose life. Amen. On Sunday, we're going to continue this here and we're going to take it to another level, I'll be honest with you. That we can walk in that area. How many want to be sound? How many are seeing some truths in there? Lord, I see the battle's real. How many here are having a battle in your mind, your emotions? You're just up and down it sometimes. Anybody else? How many are starting to look? I know I have had several of you come up to me and say, look, I'm working on this area and God's helping me here. How many is God's helping you? How many is the Word giving that understanding? That's what I want. I can't live it for you. I couldn't live it for the 600. David just needed to do what David needed to do. And others to see, hey, we're going after two. Amen. Amen. And when they all got with God, they all had the same mind and the same heart. Listen, you may be the one in your family that somebody ridicules. They may say you're nuts. Maybe they want to yell at you or stone you. I don't know. We don't stone today, but some people get stoned, but it's a different stone. But maybe they want to speak evil of you. Sometimes you just take it, go. Even if their understanding is wrong, just go. Just, Lord. Amen. Is this good tonight?
Amen.
Father, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be sound in our mind, our will, and our emotions. Lord, we know the battle is real. David never denied that his family was gone. Lord, he never denied. He wept bitterly like the rest. But he strengthened himself in the Lord. Lord, in his emotional chaos, Lord, he went back to what he knew was true, you. He went back to that secret place of the Most High. He went back to that quiet comfort from you. Lord, help us. Make that your prayer. Lord, help me. Let me not respond just emotionally or how I feel or what I perceive. But God, I want to respond in you. And Lord Jesus, we resist the enemy steadfast to try to take our stuff, try to take our families, that we will recover all. Somebody say recover all.
Recover all.
We will recover all because, Lord, you're with us. Lord, start it deep within us and help us, Lord God. Lord, if we're on an emotional roller coaster, we speak peace to that situation. That there's nothing too great or nothing too hard for you or nothing caught you by surprise, oh God. But Lord, you've been with us. Lord, help us. And Father, we speak the victory even now. We won't let our mouth go away. But Lord God, we'll focus on you. If you would lift your hands towards heaven. Father, a blessing on this congregation. Lord, help each one of us, Lord Jesus, in these battles. And Lord Jesus, we call forth that which has, Lord, been stolen to return. Lord, help us to go after. Lord, in our hearts and minds that we're just settled on you, Lord, there's peace. Lord, let us look at these biblical examples and say, I will do the same. Because what you did for David, you'll do for me. I claim that tonight. Lord, your blessing on this congregation. Go with each one in strength and power. In Jesus' name, amen.